privilege. And she sat over there while Kristen and Ashley and Jared were singing. And she said, I don't know why the Lord lets us do this. She said, why would God let me and you do something like this? And I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer. But I'm glad He does. Appreciate everybody who sang tonight. I like church music. Amen. I like church people. I ain't paying somebody to come sing for us. Don't even go to church. I watch football and racing on the weekends for entertainment. And I go to church to meet with God. Stand up and stretch your legs for a minute. Preacher, again, thank you. What a beautiful church y'all have. And appreciate the good Holy Ghost. And He's put this in my heart to preach tonight. And I, again, you come into camp meeting, you come into revival, and there's things that you want to get the best messages you got that you think you have. And the Lord put this on my heart 2 weeks ago for here, and that won't go away. And I'm going to mind the Lord tonight. Mark chapter number 9 and verse number 14. Mark 9 and 14. And Kristen and Ashlyn, they're in here somewhere. They was. There they are. They're sitting down. First time them and Jared came to our tent meeting. We've been throwing up a tent for 11, 12 years now. And the first time they came, I don't know if y'all know or not, but y'all are such a blessing to my wife and such inspiration to her singing. And to when I was lost, that's how I lived lost. Now that I'm saved, I don't know Jesus any less. If I preach, I want to preach. If somebody's singing, I want them to sing. If you're fighting, bless God, somebody's got to win. Get it on. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. Wide open, man. I like it. Mark chapter number 9 and verse 14. If you're there, say amen. And when He came to His disciples, He saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld Him, were greatly amazed, and running to Him, saluted Him. And He asked the scribes, what question you with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I've brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Now, I ain't even going to get into this, probably, but he said he had brought him to him. Well, Jesus wasn't there. He brought him to the disciples. Even the man understood, bringing them to God's men, I'm bringing them to God. He said, I brought my son. He's got a dumb spirit. The Bible said, whatsoever he taketh him, he teareth him and foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out. You can underline this in your Bible, put a star. This is what I want to preach. And they could not. Now, if you'll back up, Jesus had taken Peter and James and John up into a mountain apart to pray. And the Bible tells us, I believe it's in Luke, that the boy was a lunatic. He had a devil on him that would act up when there was a full moon. That's what that word lunatic means, lunar. And every time that full moon would come out, that devil would try to kill that boy. And he brought him to Jesus, brought him to the disciples. But Jesus was up on a mountain apart with the three other disciples. He wasn't there. And he should have been to where he could have brought him to the disciples that were at the bottom of the hill and be healed. And the Bible said he brought them to him to heal him and to cast him out. And they could not. On assignment from the Lord tonight, I'll preach, and I won't be long on this subject, on this thought, powerlessness. Powerlessness. Our Father, I need you to help me tonight. There's a whole lot of subjects in this Bible that I don't know a whole lot about. There's a lot of things in this Bible that I can't do yet. There's a lot of doctrines that I understand that I'm just, Lord, I'm trying to get into my life and like the preacher said, let you live them through me. But Lord, tonight this one thing I do know something about. I know something about wanting to get something done and can't. I know something about wanting to see God move and not. I know something about desiring something for the glory of God and for the good of my fellow man and not having the power to do it, not knowing why. And so tonight, Lord, I want to ask you to help us to understand that together. We'll give you the glory for it. And I pray those that came in tonight powerless will leave out in power. I pray those that came in tonight in confusion would leave out with emphatic exclamation, I've heard from God. Lord, we're going to thank you right now. We thank you right now for everything you already done. If you never done another thing, I'm thanking you. If you never spoke to me again, I got an eternity to give you glory for even passing by my way. Lord, if I never would have got saved, it would have been right for me to go to hell and thank you for coming by, convicting me. You didn't even have to do that. But Lord, I thank you that you convicted me. I thank you that you had patience and mercy. I thank you that you saved me, Lord. I thank you I get to serve you. I thank you that you're almighty and you know us tonight. God, help us, Lord, to understand this business of powerlessness. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen, you can have a seat. I notice a lot of my preaching and a lot of preaching I hear and a lot of themes I hear are on the power of God, and rightly so. We've got a powerful book and a powerful God. A God that can look death in the eye and say, you can't touch me. A God that can look the grave in the face and say, I ain't gonna be here long and there ain't nothing you can do about it. A God that rose on the third day so that you and I wouldn't have to go to hell. A God that stepped out on nothing and spoke everything into existence that was. A God that holds the earth in perfect orbit, in perfect place away from the sun to take care of us and to sustain life. A God that can come by tonight and speak to you as if you the only one here, a three-time holy and a three-time powerful God. And we got a powerful book and a powerful God tonight. Somebody say amen. Boy, there's times in my life I just ain't got no power. You know what makes this so ironic is in Mark chapter number 6, two chapters earlier, Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 7. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirits. And here we are, two chapters later, three are gone and there's nine of them. And between nine of them, they can't muster up enough power to bring help to this little boy. Two chapters ago, they're going through every town, casting out devils, healing sick people, blind or sick. I'm talking about they were operating in the power of God Almighty. And in just two short chapters, they ain't got a touch of power. Powerlessness. When I first got saved, 1996, October 31st, 1996, I worked in a Ford dealership in Greenwood. And I hadn't been saved long at all, just a few months. And I remember my preacher preaching out of Matthew, have faith in God. For if thou sayest unto this mountain, be thou removed into the sea, and have faith, and don't doubt it in your heart, it shall be done. And boy, I got that in my spirit. And I was excited about that. God allows me to have His power. God allows me to have His time. Boy, I was fired up about it. Well, it was on a Thursday afternoon, and I was working on a Ford Ranger. I'll never forget it. It was hot. I had to put a fuel pump in. They towed it in, and the guy had to have it. But I was ready to leave and go to church. I was driving an hour and a half to go to church where I got saved at. It's a shame you got to go so far to find God nowadays anywhere. Amen. But I'm glad I found Him down here in Bowden, Georgia tonight. And I was trying to hurry up and get done, and they was waiting, and it was a simple job, a fuel pump and a Ford Ranger. Boy, been mud riding, there's mud all up under it, and a full tank of gas. If you're going to tear your fuel pump out, please let it be with no gas in it, amen. And so I let down the tank, and it was about 5:30, and I was ready to get out of there and go to church. And just routine job, I've done 1,000 of them. And I spun that little thing off, I pulled the fuel pump out, went got the new one, put it in, and it's got a little rubber O-ring, and it goes in a groove. And there's so much dirt and mud kept falling in that groove. And I'd clean it out, put it in, try to put the fuel pump in. It's 6:10. It will not go in. I got gasoline running down under my armpits. I don't need to tell you any more than that. It wasn't comfortable at all. I'm sweating. It's hot. There's mud in my eyes, dirt in my eyes. And I remembered that sermon he preached on if you'll say to this mountain, be thou removed. And believe in your heart, it shall be done. Now, y'all got to understand, I haven't been saved long. I really believe my preacher. Some of you done got too smart. It sounds embarrassing, but this is exactly what I did. I said, thou fuel pump. In the name above every name, in the name of Jesus, I command you in this tank and be sealed. And I tried to put that ring on again and it popped off. I said, I must not have had enough faith that time. Let's try it again. In the name of Jesus, I said, this fuel pump's going in. I command you in. I didn't know anything. I just thought that I worked on that thing. You know what ended up happening? I had to leave it there. They gave him a rental car and I had to come back the next day and fix it. I know that sounds silly and it sounds stupid, but I drove to church that night and I got there late, defeated. Because, yeah, where was God at? I thought I could just speak. I thought I could just believe it and it'd be done. What happened? Did I disconnect? What's going on? God, where are you at? And you know, sometimes we talk about great, magnificent trouble, and we talk about great, magnificent problems that bring powerlessness and doubt. But a lot of times in our life, it's the very small, simple things that produce bigger powerlessness as we go. Well, I was defeated. It wasn't long after that, maybe 2 years after that, my granddaddy, his name's Buzz Faulkner. He's an old iron worker from Delaware, and I was born down south, bless God, but my mama was a Yankee, amen. She moved down south and had me here. Divine will of God, I believe in the providence of God, amen. But he's rough as a cob, had big old hands, big old black lunch boxes on the end of his arms. Built that Delaware Bridge as an iron worker all his life. And we'd go up there during the summer and he'd take me hunting and fishing. And he liked me, but he didn't like nobody else on planet Earth. Nobody, but he liked me. Mean as a junkyard dog. Cuss like a sailor. I was just a little old bitty boy. And he always had a bottle of liquor up under the seat of whatever truck he was in and a pack of Marlboros. And all day long, and if he was breathing, he was drinking and smoking. That's how he was. Rough as a cob. Rough, mean old man. But he loved me. And I got saved and I started praying for my granddaddy. I start saying, God, I want you to save him. I want you to do something for him. I want you to let him know. Send a soul winner by there. Send somebody by there that knows it, that knows you and that loves you and that cares about my granddaddy's soul. Send somebody by. And it wasn't long after that, my uncle lived in Florida, got killed in a car wreck, driving home from a bar, hit a trash truck on the side of the road, 4:00 in the morning. His son, my uncle, was killed instantly. Several weeks after that, I was reading through Luke 16. And I heard that man in hell saying, go tell them, don't come here. And preacher, it was almost as if I heard my Uncle Billy crying out, Robbie, go tell Pop, don't come here. Go tell Pop, don't come here. And it was on and on and on in my mind. And my mama called and said, Daddy's bad sick. He had emphysema. His body was eat up with sin and with just the lifestyle that he lived in. The alcohol had eaten all his insides up. He'd been drinking since he was just a little bitty thing. And so I've been praying, God, please send somebody up there. And the Holy Ghost said, go. Sent me. And I don't know why it is. I can witness to anybody in the world except my family. He did not there many miracles because of their unbelief. Where he was from. I'm driving up to Delaware. I get up there and I'm praying the whole way. About 11 and a half, 12 hour drive. I get up there and I'm excited. I think God's going to save him. I think God's going to do something great. I'm fired up. And I sit down and he's doing a little nebulizer treatment. He can't hardly move. And he'd sit down in front of the TV with his little black lab. His name was Pup Pup. And they would sit down every night with an old tin cup with raw hamburger meat. And him and that dog sit there and eat raw hamburger meat and watch the news. He got up in his chair and was breathing on that nebulizer trying to break all that stuff up. I said, Granddaddy, I said, you ain't feeling good, are you? No. I said, I want to talk to you for a little bit. I said, did you ever go to church when you was a kid? He said, I went a little bit. I said, what do you think? And he turned and looked at me. I can see him right now. He turned and looked at me. And pointed his finger. He's never been mean to me a day in his life, ever. Mean that hated everybody else, but he loved me. And he pointed his finger in my face. He said, boy, I know all about God. I want to know. And he turned back around and started taking his treatment. And the Holy Ghost said, you're done. Jumped in my truck and wept all the way back home. It wasn't 3 or 4 months later. I prayed for him. I begged God to save him. About 3 months later, Mama called me crying. She didn't have to say nothing. She said, Daddy's gone. I'm a saved man. Called to preach in Bible college. I got my telephone. Great faith, great money. And I threw it and busted it up against it. Had me a fit. Just went, you know how we do when ain't nobody looking. And I said, God, where were you? There wasn't nobody on this earth I loved more than him. God, where was you? And you know what I found out real early? There's going to be times in my life, in your life, when we're absolutely powerless. Don't know why. It's going to happen. I didn't come to discourage you tonight, though. I just want you to know you ain't weird. I want you to know you ain't alone. There's times in my life when I have absolutely no power and there's no explanation for it. There's times in my life when I don't have an answer and I don't know why I don't have an answer. I just don't have one. There's times in my life when I'll go from one circumstance and God will be here in power and great glory and I'll be magnifying His name and turn around, get up the next day and wonder what in the world, was that even real? Did that even happen? And we're so fickle and wishy-washy, up and down and in and out and can't figure life out. Let me call time out and say, I'm glad that the Lord said, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I may be a wreck, I may be a mess, I may be powerless, but praise God, He's still all-powerful and He still knows what He's doing even when you don't. He still knows what He's doing even when I don't and you don't. He's all powerful. I want to look in this text. I want to find out why these boys had power 2 chapters ago and didn't have one none now. And what are we going to do about it? We're going to quit church? We're going to get mad at God? We're going to think that we're a second-class Christian? We gonna think that God just don't hear us, but He hears everybody. I know that's what He tells you, because that's what He tells me. God answered their prayer, saved his daddy, called his boy to preach. What's wrong with you? Everybody here can overcome power. I'm not saying you may go through it, you're gonna go through it, or you're in it, but you can overcome it. If we'll make 3 considerations out of this text, there's 3 things I want you to consider tonight and I'll be done. Number one, we need to consider the cause of powerlessness. What happened to make it to where these boys was casting out devils in chapter 6 and couldn't find no power in chapter 9? What in the world went on to cause powerlessness? And the Bible says in verse 14, and when he came to his disciples... If he came, that means he was gone. the first thing that causes powerlessness is a perceived distance. They thought that because they did not see Him, they thought that because He was not standing physically there, that He had gone and left and that His power had went with Him. They perceived a distance between them and God, and when it was time for business, they didn't have any power because they thought He wasn't close. That's what the devil will tell you. God is not close to you. God's done run off somewhere. He's not coming back no time soon. You might as well forget living by faith. You might as well forget God doing anything in your life because He's not here right now. He's not here. You'll sit here in this church service, the power of God and the love of God in this room, and you'll sit there and feel like the only person that God ain't spoke to. And you'll think that God's gone. Distance. Distance. Number two, the second cause of powerlessness was distress. I want you to think about this. Why come Peter and James and John got to go? Peter, James, and John. They get to do everything. Every time Jesus does something cool, they get to go. Every time He's going to go on an adventure, they're the only ones get invited. Didn't we leave our nets? Didn't we leave our folks? Didn't we leave our jobs? Didn't we say we'd go to death with Him? Didn't we say we'd go where He went? And it's always Peter, James, and John. I believe this. Holy Ghost showed me this. The reason a lot of us live powerless is because we're not content in the place God put us, because we don't realize the importance of where we are. You'll know why He took Peter up top of the mountain, because he's fixing to say something stupid and Jesus knew it. He said, I got to get him away from these sinner folk over here so that they believe God. And He took Simon Peter up on top of the mountain so he wouldn't ruin what was going on down here, and left the nine down. Nine, picture the Holy Ghost. Left nine down there at the bottom of the hill, supposed to have the power of God, but they missed out because they were mad that they didn't get to go. You know, a lot of people live without no power of God. It's because they're sick of keeping the nursery. You know, that was my song. Why I got to be the one that always gets the hard jobs or the jobs don't nobody see? Why come I don't get to go off and preach? Why come I don't get to preach when pastor's gone? Why come I don't? Why come I don't? And you'll live powerless when you're in distress over the very thing that God's given you to do and trusted you with. Somebody's got to do it. And it is as important as anything else in the ministry. He's called us all together, fitly joining us together in the body as He sees fit, because He needs you and He loves you and He's got something for you to do. And if you'll just start enjoying your little bit, you'll do your little bit with power and do great things in it. It's mad that everybody else got to do all the cool stuff. I got news for you. This cool stuff ain't quite as cool as you think it is. This cool stuff ain't all it's cut out to be. I didn't sign up for this. But there is a crowd running around right now that thinks, if I ain't the star, if I ain't the one, if I ain't the hero, if I ain't the coolest, I don't want to participate. I say hogwash. I was drunk on my way to hell. I was sitting on a bar stool, blind as a bat, on my way to a devil's hell. Then Jesus passed by, washed me in His blood, saved my soul. Hey, I'll sweep the floors. I'll clean the toilet. I don't care. If it's for Him, I'll do it. You say you won't do it. I still do it. I still do it. That's what I was doing when He called me to preach, cleaning toilets. It's what I did when he touched my life. I stand out in the parking lot parking cars. Why? I was just so happy I wasn't drunk. I couldn't get over it.
I ain't looking to get over it. I ain't trying to get over it. I got in. I'm glad I'm in. I don't care what I get to do. I'm glad I get to do this. But one thing I am going to do, I'm going to be with Him wherever He's at forever and ever. I think I'm going to decide to like whatever God's put me in. You know why you're living without no power? You're not content. Not content. That's distant. That's distressed. Third reason, I believe, is them devils. Something about success breeds misery. Something about living in power brings weakness. I don't know how many devils they cast out in Mark 6. I ain't sure how many deliverances they had made by the time they got to this point in their life. But I know this. If it was one, they had one mad devil chasing them around trying to make them lose their mind. And why he's standing here trying to do all this and help you, I promise you, every devil you got on you, jumping on him. He lived with powerlessness because of them devils. They're getting your mind. You think you ain't living in a warfare? You think this is a game? You think this is just go to church and pop your chewing gum and go to the house and boy, that's good. So, oh my goodness, no, heaven and hell are at stake. This thing's real. There's real principalities and powers working in heavenly places trying to make you lose your mind. And they'll attack your mind. And if you don't know just to lay down before Calvary and cry out to God, you'll never have no power because they're going to keep on. It ain't going away. I would serve God. As soon as I feel better, I'm going to do right. As soon as I feel I got power, if I get a goosebump when they sing the third note of that song, I'll know it's okay and I'll go serve God. There's been times living by faith. Oh yeah. There's been times I ain't heard from Him in quite a while. And I used to have to go say, God, what's wrong? What did I do? Why do you treat me like this? Why do I feel powerless? Why? What's wrong? Why? I don't know how the Lord talks to you, but He has to tell me, would you shut up? Would you shut up? You ain't heard nothing from me because I ain't said nothing. As soon as I want you to do something different or else, I'll tell you. What's the last thing I told you to do? Do I have to tell you every day to clean your room? Do I have to tell you every day to wash them dishes? Just like my youngins. Just because it's Tuesday don't mean they get to leave their dishes out. I'm hoping, sitting at the altar, she's 15. She gets up from the table, she grabs her dishes, and she goes straight to the sink. Why? Because we told her enough growing up when she was younger. Get them dishes. She finally got to a point, she don't have to ask if that's what she's supposed to do, and I don't have to tell her. She knows what my heart is, and she knows what I desire of her, and she just goes and does it. Hello. Powerlessness. You keep on keeping on. The cause of powerlessness. It's because we hadn't appropriated the things God's given us to appropriate. He's given it all to us. We just don't know how to use it. My wife, her family lived in a camper while they was building a house and they were camping people. I never camped in my life growing up. We're so poor we couldn't even buy a tent or a shoestring to tie it together with. We got married and her daddy had a pop-up. And she said, honey, let's go camping. It's like, ain't there a hotel somewhere we can stay in? Camping's fun. Oh, okay. We already had Audrey and she was pregnant with Elise. A little pop-up camper. And I left work that day and was running trying to get to the campground and we went to Calhoun Falls, South Carolina. Now if you ain't ever heard of Abbeville, you sure ain't heard of Calhoun Falls. Right on the other side of the river from Elberton. We went over to Calhoun Falls camping, and there's one store in Calhoun Falls, Gurley's Meat Market, and it closed at 6 o'clock. And I had forgotten to get hamburger meat. And you know, we camping. And I'm supposed to know this, you know. We camping, and so I gotta go get the hamburger meat. So I run, I drop the camper off, and I tell her to set it up. I'm gonna go to Gurley's and get some hamburger meat and come back. I come pulling in my little Ford Ranger. We cooked them hamburgers up and ate them and hung out, and I was having a pretty good time. I kinda enjoyed it, you know. We got in bed, and we saw one. Y'all know what a pop-up is, don't you? Yeah. You slide the bed out over the tongue. You slide the back bed out over this. Well, man, Christy's on the back bed. Audrey's at the front over the tongue. In the middle of the night, she's 9 years pregnant. Me and her's laying in the back slide out. And Audrey says, "Mama, I'm scared." Christy said, "Come down here and get in the bed with us." So Audrey's. And it popped up. Yeah. Wham. The lake is right here. The camper, wham. I'm laying on the ground. I'm thinking, if this thing rolls about 4 feet, we're fixing to go swimming. She's laying on top of me, pregnant. How far? You were 7, 8 months? 8 months pregnant. Laying on top of me. I'm laying on the ground. I'll just laying on top of her. Woo! Help us! I'll just starts crying. Christy said, "Audrey, climb back up to your bed." And so Audrey rolls off the bed and kind of stands up. Bam! Christy said, "Me and Audrey will go sleep down here tonight." I got in such a hurry. And I didn't understand, and I ain't done it a lot. It wasn't because there wasn't no jacks on the camper. I just didn't put them down. You'll go through powerlessness, but you don't have to stay powerless. You don't have to stay powerless. I might not even go no further. Power is not a feeling. Power is not a tingle. Power is not a goosebump. Power is not an experience. Power is when you believe what God said in His Word and speak and act as if it's already done. Let it be done on earth. That don't mean let us act on earth how we act in heaven. That means if God's already declared it from heaven, let it be as if it is already on earth. We ain't got to live powerless. A lot of time we choose to. We get in a hurry and choose to. The cause of powerlessness. I'm going to skip 2 and 3 and I'm going to go right to the end. What about the cure of powerlessness? How do we fix it? Well, Jesus came back, and when He got there, He said, "Oh, adulterous and wicked generation. Faithless generation," is what He said. Faithless. Why didn't you believe? He said, "Bring him here." Jesus said, "Get out of him, devil. Get out of here. Come here, boy. You all right?" My goodness. Boys don't ever want to believe me. How do I fix powerlessness? Number one, appeal to Jesus' presence. He was over here, and He came back to where they were. But the truth of the matter is, although He was there, He was still here. They did not understand that He'd never leave them nor forsake them. He's here now. Well, I hadn't felt Him. We're not taking a vote. We don't live off experience. We live off faith in the Word of God. We don't live on feeling. We don't live on what happened yesterday. We don't live on what we've seen or what we've thought or what we've felt. We live on what God said. He said, "I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Even though you don't see me, I'm still with you. Even though you don't feel me, I'm still there. I want you to grow up, and I want you to understand that I don't have to pat you on the back every time that you're supposed to live for me. Just get in that book and live in that book, and that book will live in you, and you'll live in power." And just like preacher said, it ain't you. It's that book and that Holy Ghost in you living out of you. "For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." There's power. You just got to know He's there. I tell you something else that'll fix powerlessness. Be truthful. Tell the truth. The dad had adopted their unbelief and powerlessness. If thou believest, all things are possible to them that believe. Lord, I believe. Well, I've said that a time or two. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. How do I get past powerlessness? Go to Jesus and say, I ain't got no power. And the problem is that I don't believe you. I'm all messed up. My mind's messed up. My spirit's messed up. I've allowed unbelief. I've allowed discontentment. I've allowed something. I want you to show me what it is, and I want you to help me with my unbelief, because I know the problem ain't on your end. Problem's on my end. Fix me. Help. Oh, Paul found that out. He said, for when I am weak, then am I strong. He said, I'd much rather be weak and have the power of God on me. And what we don't... Could be God will allow powerlessness to get you to tell Him the truth. I tell you something else that'll help powerlessness. Time. How long have you been a pastor of this church, preacher? 20 years. This Christmas. Me and Christy sat over there and we was talking about the church and talking about your people and watching how you operate. I'm glad she married me. She knows him. She don't think he's me going. She said, we stay in it long enough, honey. She said, we'll get to act just like this and do just like this. For my wife to compliment your church, because she thinks I'm it. You've been here long enough to know that when trouble comes up, you don't jump back no more. You just like, Lord. You don't even try to fight fights no more. People ask me, preacher, you got to deal with this. You got to fix this. I'm learning. I can't. Sunday nights, I don't even answer my phone Sunday night no more. First 5 years I pastored, phone rings Sunday night, I had to leave the house and go fight somebody or chew somebody out or argue with somebody about something and straighten them out. And you know what happened? They didn't understand because they was wicked anyway. That's the only reason they was causing trouble. They didn't get it. And then they got 9 people who didn't understand authority who want to get mad at the pastor for dealing with something. I just said, Lord, it's your people's going crazy. Let me tell you about them. This one over here, he got a problem. Me and my wife ain't let them watch CSI Miami. And dream about retiring in Miami, please, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm feeling Catholic. I saw the Pope last week in Albania. He rode by me with his little arm out the window. One of my young preacher boys was standing up Sunday that went with me. He said, we was in Albania. He said, and the Pope was privileged to get to drive by my pastor. I said, hallelujah, son. Glory to God. It's exactly right. Yeah. I watched that little boy come up and hug you a while ago, a little 12-year-old, 11-year-old boy. I looked at Christy, I said, boy's hugging his preacher. Hallelujah. There's some things that matter and there's some things just don't matter. You gotta wonder what his parents think about you. Little boy over hugging his preacher. Glory to God. You ain't gotta live powerless. You're going to experience it. You're going to go through it. But you ain't got to live that way and you ain't got to stay that way. How many of you tonight will come find somewhere in this altar and tell God the truth? Lord, I've lost my power. I don't have any power, Lord, and I need you to do something in my life. And if you don't, it ain't going to get done. I've lost my power. Help my unbelief. In Jesus' name, come on.